When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Not seen The Secret Life of Walter Mitty or August Osage County, you might want to fast forward to this segment. Manis?
Yes?
Did you go see Walter Mitty?
I did because I obeyed.
That's all I ask from people in my life.
I know.
Obey.
Obey. I did obey.
I know, and I know you didn't love it, but I don't think you watched it the way you were supposed to watch it.
Well, I really liked it. But when we were talking about it, you gave me some insight into I saw it on such a surface level, in which
that's
I tend to look
thing.
At movies that way.
I think that's the thing. A lot of people who didn't like it were like, it's stupid and it's absurd. But it's, in my opinion, it wasn't a movie that was meant to be watched literally. Like, of course he's not going to come through a volcano explosion. Of course he's not going to just happen upon Sean O'Connell's character upon the mountain.
Longboard through
right.
Finland or whatever
exactly.
the hell
exactly. Like, the whole movie is a series of metaphors. And there was one metaphor, though, that was the most powerful to me. And it related back to your life. And I think I hear it so much from our listeners and also from contestants on Biggest Loser.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out, and this guy is paying his mother's bills, and he's got to get a bigger apartment for his mother to be able to house this piano that his father had gotten his mother many years ago, I think when they were first married. And you kind of see how this is like this albatross around his neck and how he's sacrificing to pay these bills and to try to make all these ends meet and to try to be everybody's hero. And as the movie progresses, you start to learn why this guy has never really done what he's wanted with his life, right? He has all these fantasies of the life that he's never led, but always wanted to. And his father died right as he was about to go off and explore Europe as a teenager getting out of high school. And his father passed away, and he took on all the responsibilities of his father
right.
and the identity of his father and essentially lost his life, right? And...
Oh, my God. I just saw another insight. You're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, at the very end of the movie, his mother sells the piano because he's lost his job. The magazine that he works at, Life Magazine, has closed. His mother sells the piano, and she still loves him. She's not devastated. She's like, honey, it's not a big deal. And you realize that all of this obligation and responsibility is something that he created for himself. She never required that of him. At any given point, he could have said, Mom, you gotta sell your piano. Mom, I can't make this work. Mom, I can't live like this. And at the end of the movie, it's like, she has to sell the piano. Everything's fine. She loves him as much as ever, if not more so. And life goes on. And I thought, dear God, people don't realize how they put themselves in a corner.
Mm.
And there was another line in another movie, and it's only one line, so I don't think this will spoil it for you, but it was August Osage County.
Well, yeah, is it?
Right.
Yes.
And it was
Meryl
a play, right?
Meryl
Streep, Julia Roberts, Juliette Lewis is in it. And there's a line with Juliette Lewis to Julia Roberts where she's doing something that Julia can't believe, right? And Juliette Lewis is like, you know what? Sometimes life puts you in a corner the way life does, and you do what you got to do, Barb. And Barb is Julia Roberts' character. And yes, sometimes life does, but here's what makes a life. A, have you put yourself in that corner? Most people do. Most people make choices that back them into that corner, and they don't even realize it, like Walter Mitty. And the way that you respond to these corners we've been put in, or these circumstances that arise, are what's going to dictate the outcome of your reality. So yes, this kid's father died, right? Walter's father dies when he's a teenager. But he never had to take on his father's identity. And that becomes clear at the end of the movie when he gives that up and starts to pursue his own truth and his own passion and his own goals and reality. And his mother still loves him and the world still remains the same. He put himself in that corner. Yes, his father died, bad things happened, but he backed himself into the corner and he's the one who kept himself there. The way you respond to the things that arise in life are either going to put you in that corner or take you to a deeper place of wisdom and understanding and depth and empathy. Make sense?
It does. No, it does. And as you're speaking, I'm seeing more and more of the metaphor in that. Now it just kind of boggles my mind. Like, now I have to see it again.
You've
I have to go
see
it again with different eyes.
And that's where, like the Sean O'Connell character, in my opinion, was his alter ego.
Which is the Sean Penn.
Plays this guy, Sean O'Connell, and they become partners in this co-creation of this magazine, which is, of course, called Life. Like, it's their magic that made the magic of the magazine, and they were a team. And one is out there having the adventures, and the other one's just tucked away in this office. But they were the one that made this magazine great. So, of course, it's all of Sean's work in photography that, of course, Walter curated and discovered
right. And
championed. And then who's on the magazine at the end? Walter. Walter is. When it's like they had become one, in a way. You just got to see it. And so, really, I guess, what I'm trying to say is, if you go see that movie, please don't look at it through little literal eyes. It's a very famous short story that's been studied for years and years
Thurman's,
by smart people
Thurman,
in college.
And there was smart people. And there was an original. And now I'm really curious to see the original, which was done by Danny Kaye, I think, was the, like, as an old black and white. Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks would have been a great Walter Mitty, too, back in the day.
Yes, I can see Tom Hanks doing that
back
role.
Back when.
Yeah, like in his Forrest Gump days.
Now, but yes.
Yeah.
His Forrest Gump days. He would have been a good Walter Mitty. But that's nothing to do with it. But I think, really, I just, at the very end of the movie, when the mom sold the piano and there was no consequence, I was like, son of a bitch. This whole prison you put yourself in was for nothing.
Well, now,
nothing.
Okay, for you then, would you say when you felt kind of when you first owned that gym, would you say that was your corner? Because you felt, because you've had some corners.
But that's different. That gym, yes, it was a fear. It was a fear of failing, but it was a fear that I embraced. I jumped into the abyss and took the chance. Leap and the net will appear. And when I first opened that gym, I was really scared because we had, you know, maxed out our credit cards, sold everything we owned, taken on loans, you know, we were going to be ruined and, like, just personally bankrupt the whole thing if it didn't work.
Mm.
So to me, that was finding myself in the free fall of life. I've never been one, though, and this is in large part, I do have to give my father some credit, but I've never been the fall on the sword martyr kind of girl because my parents weren't. They never taught me to be that way.
Right.
They weren't. you know,
you're not. You are absolutely not.
But neither one of my parents were. My parents were like, we're going to pursue our happiness. We're shameless about it.
Well, look, your mom became a doctor at what? She went back to school in her 40s?
My parents got divorced when I was... My mom graduated. Like, what's the smart one? Summa or magna?
Oh, God.
The super smart one.
Magenta. I don't
know. Right. One of those. Cum laude.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, she graduated... when I was a kid, because she put my father through law school, actually, as a secretary. And my dad was such a douche. She was a terrible student as a teenager, because she had, you know, troubles going on at home. And she always thought she was stupid. And my dad used to call her the dummy.
Oh,
God. Right? Well, she was a kid, though. A kid. So...
Oh, when they were young.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
My God. She married my dad. When she met my dad to get out of the house, it was the 60s. So she met my dad, and she was a kid, and it was like to run sort of... away from her home, and you know, she married my dad, and she put him through law school as a secretary, and then ended up going to school and graduated either magna or summa cum laude, whatever, the super smart one, and went into public relations, PR. hated it. So she just didn't like the ethics of it. She didn't like the business. She didn't like the people. Quit. And then my parents got divorced, and my mom had gotten into her own therapy and had gotten me into therapy when I was a kid and had become, you know, it had changed her life. And so she obviously became very passionate about therapy and what have you and how it can help people. So she went back to school to get her master's. And that's when she got her master's in psychology, and she got her, I think it's an MFCC and her master's, mm-hmm. and then had to do all her hours to become a licensed psychotherapist. So she'd been doing that, I think, since I was around 13 and working very successfully, and then decided she was going to get her doctorate and her PhD. And that takes years because of, like, you got to write a paper and you have to do all these case studies for, like, 3 years.
Oh, you have to volunteer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that takes years. And I honestly don't remember when she started it. I don't, because it took...
But she probably couldn't go super full time. She probably had to do it.
Right, well, because she had a practice and all of that. But my mom always, even when I was a kid, would go to the gym. Would, you know, when my parents got divorced, she would date. Like, my mom was never that martyr mother who was like, hold on, I've given everything to my children. She wasn't that way. And I never felt responsible for her happiness because of it. And I've never felt guilty about pursuing happiness because of it. So I wasn't raised that way.
Oh, God, that's really
so interesting. I've never been the one to back myself into a corner.
Do you know how many people feel guilty about pursuing happiness?
And they have shame and all that. I don't have any of that. None of it. I don't have any shame in my life. I know that sounds crazy, and people are like, that's impossible, but I truly can't think of any shame. I'm not ashamed of anything. I make mistakes, and I might regret a decision, but... I learn from it and I move on. I don't have that.
Wow.
I know. I don't. It's bizarre. And I think the only corner I've ever put myself in, and I really did start to feel a little bit overwhelmed by it, was being a parent. Because that's no joke. I mean, that's a full-time, forever job. And I did sort of fall victim to that in the very beginning with the kids, where it was like, you know, we were never going away on our own, and we were never leaving. It was like, and then I was becoming unhappy and starting to resent the situation. And that's when my shrink was like, this is ridiculous. Get a babysitter.
Great thing. You asked for help.
Yeah, you know, like, for help. Because this is silly. You know, you've got to carve out time, you know, for you and for Heidi and for your own personal time. And then the more I did that, the more happy I was and the better of a mom I am. Like, if we don't have any help, right? So we don't have a nanny on Saturday or Sunday. And if we don't have any help, not a sitter Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night, or Saturday or Sunday, by the end of that weekend, I'm ready to kill my kids. I'm exasperated. I'm exhausted. I'm drained. So what we started to do was get a sitter from 10 to 2 every Saturday, and we go to yoga. And we have lunch together. Mm. And then for the rest of the weekend, I'm like a super mom. Without that,
You gave yourself that window.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
To go to the gym, to have time together, to take our one 90-minute workout. And it's like, I'm a better mom. I'm a better mom. So, I don't know. I guess it's... what piano are you holding on to?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what corner have you backed yourself into? Go see the movie and just keep an open mind. See the movie, keep an open mind. And there's one other thing. There was one other line in that movie, August, that I wanted to talk about. Again, I don't know. If you have seen it, if you haven't seen it, maybe fast forward through this. So Meryl Streep is Julia Roberts' mom, right? And Meryl Streep is just so upset about something that's happened. And she just gets out of the car and starts running in the middle of nowhere. And Julia's like, son of a bitch. She gets out of the car, right? She starts chasing her. And this is, they're just running through some field somewhere. And all of a sudden, Meryl Streep just gets exhausted and kind of collapses. And Julia gets exhausted and kind of collapses. And she's like, where the F are you going? Where are you running to? There's nowhere to go. And what I took that to mean is like, you can't run away from these things. There's nowhere to run to. This is the lot we've created and we got to deal with it. This is our reality. We can't run. Just, oh, I'm going to exit stage left. I'm going to jump out of the car and make a run for it. Like, you can't. You can't run away from it. It has to be dealt with. And that's life. It's like, you get put in a corner, you got to deal with it. And how can you work your way out of that corner so that it enhances the quality of your life? You don't become imprisoned by your own fears and your insecurities, which are real only for you. All his concerns about his mother and the piano. She sold the piano. She mm-hmm. still loved him. And I guarantee you, that's life. Guarantee it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Deep. Another one. Another heavy one. My God, I'm deep. I'm. This is profound stuff.
No, you do. I must admit, ooh, when you see a movie, you
see how many one-star reviews we get after these pearls of wisdom. But we are back with our nationwide, critically acclaimed Maximize Your Life Tour.
Yes!
You're excited?
I am!
I'm excited, too.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the press release ready. In my trademark, no-nonsense style, Michaels uses the live, in-person, interactive show to connect directly with her fans.
This is true. Yeah, you yeah. are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This powerful and personal event aims to help you define your goals, harness your potential, and live the life you want. Also true. Mm-hmm. And I do that.
Yes, you do.
I deliver.
Yes, you do.
I don't speak in platitudes. I am the how-to of transformation inside and out.
So?
Well, come.
Exactly.
Come.
We are coming to a town near you.
Yes, we are. Nationwide. Cities across the country. So to get tickets, information, checkout dates, and cities, just go to www.JillianMichaelsLive.com. I know we've talked about this before, but I feel the need to talk about it again. And I just want everybody who's listening out there to know that there is no information that will be imparted to you during this aspect of the segment.
Why don't you just set it up for a downer? Gee.
No, there's nothing to learn here. I really am just on a quest for knowledge, a desperate desire to understand, what do women do in the bathroom? What the hell are they doing in there? I pride myself on the ability to be in and out of that room in under a minute. Mind you, I am a squatter, so I don't pull that paper down and stick it on the thing. Like, I have very good quad control. I can hover beautifully and not make a mess. So that does save me time. But what are they doing in there? Like, just now, I went to pee, and you may have wondered why it took so long.
I thought
that there was some things going on in there, but it wasn't me.
No, I didn't think there was some things going on in there. I just thought, oh, Jillian's gone and had a little
Right. No, I told you poop knows when it's close to home.
This is true.
I've told you this before. But I want to understand, what the hell are you guys doing in there? Or have you ever been to a restaurant where it's like a woman goes in and it's a oneer and you're outside and everybody's just like, mother of God, what are you doing?
Do you know what they're doing?
No.
People are taking their stupid phones into the can with them, and they're sitting and they're texting on the pot.
No, I don't believe it. No.
This predates phones, though. Women have always done this, I think.
I timed it out, right? Like, I will go through it in my mind. I'm like, okay, she's gone in. She's closed the door. She's locked the door. She's now in the stall. She's removed the paper seat cover. It's now placed on the seat. Unzipping the pants. Like, I walk myself through the whole thing, right? I'm like, sitting on the toilet, relieving ourselves, all a lot. 30 seconds for that. Even though it shouldn't, I doesn't take me that long.
What if it's number two? That takes a little bit longer.
Who goes number two in a public bathroom in a restaurant?
I don't, but some people have to.
But then it's like, I'm like, okay, now you've peed, now you've wiped, okie dokie, now you've flushed, now you're heading off to wash your hands. Oh, soap. Oh, darn, it's one of those air dryers. That's going to take a minute. And now I'm like, okay, I've walked you through the whole thing. And 2 minutes later after that, somebody walks out of the stall. What are they doing in there?
Maybe they're attaching their prosthetic limbs back on.
Makeup.
That's what they're doing.
Touching
in there.
Up their makeup.
That's what they're doing. Jake is right. I've seen it.
It has to be.
In the toilet?
I've seen it.
How can you put on makeup without a mirror?
Mom, I've seen them do, well, no, I've seen them
one-er,
do, I've, if it's a oneer, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen that, and that drives me banana
shorts.
You're
saying,
if it's a oneer, yeah.
And I'm like, mother of God, you left the house, you have to do the eyeliner over. But here's another one that makes me bananas. Why in an office building is there a key for a bathroom? What do you think someone's going to do in that bathroom? Make a home for themselves?
Yes.
Oh, please.
For the people from the outside, so they don't go in and use the can.
On the fifth floor of an office building? You know what? I really have to pee. There's an office building. Let's go underground, pay $12 for parking, tuck the elevator up, five floors, go through the rat's maze, find the bathroom, pee, and then go all the way back down, find the car, drive all the way out of the parking lot, pay $12, get back on the road, and go.
Okay, then it's for security.
And what?
Well, I remember when I worked in a different building, and the Dr. Laura would tape her show in that same building, and she had to have a bodyguard take her down to the bathroom and stand outside as it was locked. And we were not allowed to go in to the bathroom when Dr. Laura was in the bathroom.
Not every citizen in America is hated in the way that Dr. Laura may be hated, if obviously she needs someone to guard her while she's relieving herself. That said, this just makes no sense. Every single time I come here, I have to go to the guard, let him know that I have to pee.
I know that's
by asking for the bathroom key, then go to the bathroom, or you've got to wait because some other woman had to pee and she's got the key. So you have to stand outside, even though there's multiple stalls in the bathroom, and wait for that person to come out of the bathroom. What's going to happen in there?
The key, by the way, is the most disgusting thing.
Right.
Because everyone touches it.
Exactly. I could get gangrene.
That's a good point.
Oh, wait. No, you have to be cut. I could get something horrible from that key. Syphilis. Which is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Pink eye or something? Touching.
Exactly.
Pink eye.
Yeah.
The clap.
Oh.
Didn't we go over that at one time? What was that again? Chlamydia? Or did I get... No.
No, it was the clap.
Gonorrhea.
It's gonorrhea.
Exactly. I just don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, but the thing is,
I'm going to go outside this bathroom with a portable mic and start interviewing people on the way out and just say, excuse me, can you tell me how you allotted the 3 minutes of your time that you spent in there? And by the way, if you are going number two, why is it taking you 3 minutes?
It could be an issue. I have to do a crossword puzzle when I do the number two.
What?
I do an entire crossword puzzle.
Why?
How many numbers are we talking?
Well, like a fair size one.
Why?
40 up and 40 sideways?
What size are you talking about?
40 up and 40 across.
40 right. 40 across and 40 up and down.
No, like not that crossword. Big. It's just like this big. But I have to do a crossword.
Why?
Because nothing will happen otherwise.
I don't understand. Why?
You have to concentrate.
On crossword puzzles?
No, on the process. Are you telling me when you say, okay, I have to go number two, I'm just going to go, you go in and it just happens?
I do it like seconds. Once per show.
Oh, Jake. I didn't need to know that.
No crossword.
You go in and just sit.
Yeah.
Yeah. In and out. Seconds.
Well, what if there's a... Okay, I hate to be... Don't want to be rude, but what if things get kind of stuck?
Nothing ever gets stuck. You're not healthy.
Ooh.
What are you eating? Barbed wire?
Pretzels and cement.
Yeah, what the hell?
You've never had a problem going to the bathroom.
Like,
number
no,
two.
No.
Ever.
I don't think ever. I mean, like, maybe once or twice, you know, there are like a day or two where I'm like, gosh, I didn't go to the bathroom. But it's like usually when I'm traveling. But I don't have a problem getting anything out of there. No.
Well,
something's wrong with you.
What are you, fanny fiber? I mean,
I think you need to take some like digestive enzymes or something. That should just come out of there.
I'm all better without the enzymes or anything. It passed. It was stress is what it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I haven't had an issue since the last time I saw you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as we know, he's going every hour on the hour. I'm telling you, which is a lot, mind you. Do you remember that book, You, the Owner's Manual? I think it was Dr. Oz's first book. It was on Oprah, and they talked about poop and how it should be connected to your body when it hits the water in the toilet, and it should be S-shaped, and that means you're healthy.
Excuse me? Connected to my body when it hits the toilet?
Yeah, still coming out when it hits the water.
All toilets are a little different, though.
No, it should still be connected.
Like a little ladder to my anus?
Yeah. See, I'm telling you. Yes.
There's another T-shirt.
And it should be... Oh! I know, but that's not a body shred T-shirt.
Like a ladder to my anus.
Yeah, that's a whole nother website.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm...
Maybe there is some useful information here. Yeah, no, don't you remember that?
No, I do not.
Yeah, poop should S-shaped, and it should still be attached to you when it hits the water.
Maybe we should do a best of and bring back that. Didn't we talk to Dr. V about poo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How S-shaped? Because I don't think I've ever had an S-shape.
I have.
Like real S?
Like very curved. Hold on, pause.
S is in Sam.
Pause.
No pictures.
Here we go. Okay, are we on?
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, this is straight from the Dr. Oz health quiz on Oprah.com. Are you ready? Here's the actual question. Oh, wait, I gotta close this ad. Hang on, here we go. Okay, what shape should your poop be? A, pancake shaped. Wow, how would anybody do that? God. B, S-shaped. C, pebble-shaped. D, I refuse to look. The correct answer is B. It's supposed to be S-shaped. And for a very good reason, says Dr. Oz. Poop, before it comes out, gets stored in the bottom of your rectum, and if it is unable to be stored there and achieve that shape, it means that your waste is not working well. Now, we joke about this a lot, and that's a lot of fun and good, but the reality is it's one of the best ways for us to audit how you're doing. If we don't know what's coming out of you, and if you're not keeping track of it, we can't figure out if the machine's working the right way. Told you. S-shaped. Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
I did have a segment. Maybe we should come back.
Yeah, we can't. I don't think you can change gears now.
It's been a pretty crappy segment.
I told you I was right about that, though. I think you need to go to the doctor.
No, I just like to sit in there and do a crossword.
But you're not S-shaped, and it's not attached to you like a ladder to your anus.
Yeah, the ladder to the
anus.
There's
a lot of things wrong with you, apparently.
It almost sounds like an Enya song.
Oh, God.
Who can see where my ladder to my anus? Only me.
Have a fitnessy kind of segment. Why are you opening that chocolate bar right next to the microphone?
I'm sorry. You said I could have. Oh,
I did, but
good.
Do you have to be so obvious? Janice always eats the crappy candies that are in the studio, so I brought an organic dark chocolate bar for her.
This looks fantastic. It's organic with sea salt and caramel. Oh, my God. Yeah, I do eat the crap. Well, because they got that damn thing M&M's out
junk,
there.
Though. That's junk. Garbage.
Thank you very much.
If you're
going
to eat it, at least don't eat. I don't mind the sugar. What? I have a segment. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, it's a silly one. It's 10 fun ways to burn 200 calories.
Oh, perfect.
I wanted you to think about ways to burn calories that weren't like, oh, I have to go to the gym. Oh, I have to work out. Are you ready?
For sure.
Okay. So, recently, I decided to go to the driving range.
Oh, no. Jillian the golfer.
Yeah. Never had one lesson. But I was like, this is fun. I mean, it was, you know, flying off to the left or the right. That's kind of amazing, by the way. If I had wanted to make the ball go straight and then a hard right turn, I could never do it. But without even trying, it was made its own little wham, L shape. Fascinating.
It is. And driving range is fun.
Yeah. Go for an hour and you can burn 200 calories. Just whack the crap out of those things. And if it's like, all right, you're missing and you find it frustrating, there's this thing called the Get Golf Ready program. And for only $99, they'll pair you up with an LPGA or a PGA pro who'll give you and other swingers 5-hour-long lessons.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, very much so.
$20 a lesson. Anyway, okay.
It's cheap.
Here's another one. Go bowling with your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Although this one takes 90 minutes. But if you go bowling for an hour and a half, you can burn up to 200 calories. Got to skip the beer, though.
Yeah, you can't have the alcohol. But bowling's fun. We do family bowling
at Christmas
bowling.
Time. Yeah, go bowling. That's a blast. Mm-hmm. Okay, you put a little basket on your bike and ride your bike around for errands. If it's not freezing outside. But, like, people in Venice out here, they do it all the time. They ride their bike to the farmer's market and all that stuff. Get a bike lock. And take your bike.
And a big basket, a big E.T.
Basket. Yeah, exactly. Put something in there. Uh-huh. Yeah, no? Yeah. Here's another one. Play video games, but not, like, sit on your butt video games. Like, the kind of Wii video games and Xbox. And sock and avatar. Box. Play tennis. We used to do this all the time. I don't know why. Kids, maybe, is why I stopped. But we play tennis, and people do Dance Dance Revolution, or they'll box on there, and it's fun.
Yep.
Yeah, like, play those upright video games. Take a scuba diving lesson. You can burn 200 calories in 27 minutes taking a scuba lesson.
I wonder why that. I wonder why scuba... It must be... I wonder why.
I don't know, dude, but maybe it's all that stuff on your back. But, I mean, I looked it up in several different places. And if you want to locate a scuba course, you just go to paddy.com, P-A-D-I.com. I always thought that. It kind of scares me. I did take course in the Dominican Republic once, which was probably... And I remember being like 20 feet under going, this is frightening. But it was one of the coolest things ever.
I'm sure.
And if you're going to like do a trip to like Belize or Hawaii or something, you should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
If not, there are other options. Yeah. Another thing you could do, have you ever washed your own car?
Yes.
I haven't done that since I was a kid. I used to get $5.
Yeah, wash your own car, mow your own lawn.
Yeah, well, the raking, your gardening is another one. But if you like to garden, Heidi loves to garden. Garden, raking leaves, digging in the dirt, all of that stuff, washing your own car. You can burn a ton of calories doing that. What about playing with your kids? Have you ever tried to play with kids? Good luck making it more than 10 minutes. I mean, they're exhausting. My kids are like, can you chase us? Can you chase us? I mean, I'm like, oh, God. You know, throw them around, wrestle with them, pick them up, play tag. You'll be wiped. Don't just go to the playground and sit on your butt. Go to the playground
and play.
And play.
Yeah.
And if you don't have kids or nieces or nephews, go to BBBS.org, which is the Boys and Girls Club of America. Or no, I'm sorry. It's the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America website. I messed that up. Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America website. And go play with some kids who need a buddy.
Yeah.
A pal. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you're doing a good deed. Go out dancing with your friends. 29 minutes. 200 calories. What?
No.
It's awesome.
Just, no, it's
all
true.
All single ladies. Yeah. Right.
Go dancing. Dancing's...
Yeah.
And you don't have to go out. You could do dancing in your own home.
Well, that would be dumb.
But you can.
Unless you're three.
No.
Every night my kids have a dance party. If I have to hear roar one more time, I'm going to put my head through the wall.
What's roar?
Katy Perry.
Hear me roll. Okay.
And then Lou always tells me, here comes the tiger! And he goes, tie, tie! And then together they go, roar! And it's like the worst. It just makes me want to die. Wow. And then now he knows, he goes, pear, 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 for Katy Perry. They only want to hear applause and pear.
Wow.
Yeah. But no, you can't do that. You have to go out.
Okay.
I know you're antisocial and you're afraid of relationships, but you shouldn't just dance in your living room. That would be weird.
I know. It does look weird.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Here's another one that Heidi actually did. She used to play soccer as a kid, and she joined a little soccer team.
Did she?
Yeah. And it was really simple. She just went to active.com, and she found a little team.
That's awesome. There's tons of great rec leagues.
Or join a softball team or something. Like, be a kid again. Mm-hmm. Go play soccer once a week or something.
There's the coolest thing in Brooklyn. They have the Brooklyn Kickball League in the summer on the Sunday. It's so cool.
Kickball.
And it's huge.
We have to play kickball.
We have kickball here.
What's kickball?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never
Kickball's like baseball, but with a soccer ball. Like, they roll the ball. So you kick it and run the bases. Like,
oh, really?
It's really a lot of exercise.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot of running, a lot of jumping around and stuff.
That's way more fun than going to the gym and getting on a frickin' treadmill.
No kidding.
Yeah. Okay, last but not least, I don't know, you know, where you live, this all depends, but discover a swimming hole. We actually have a ton of these in the Santa Monica Mountains. So people will hike into the mountains and they'll go on these long hikes and find waterfalls and all that stuff. It's like a hike there, you swim for a bit, a hike back.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. I love to swim. Yeah. You know, I was going to say, with a driving range, don't forget there's batting cages, too. I used to go to that one in Sherman Oaks.
We got to do that.
Bang.
Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's good.
I didn't even think about it. You know what else there is? I love them. Suddenly we're in L.A., at least, there's one of those new, have you been to those trampoline parks?
Oh, those are the best workout of all time. Yeah, you soar everywhere.
I want to go. The trampoline. The walls or something, the whole floor. Yeah, it's like a, what's that called?
Sky High.
Sky High. Yep. Yeah, it's a trampoline park.
And they've got a dodgeball court in there. They've got a foam pit to do flips into. They've got everything.
That's what and there's places now that are opening. I know
it's really fun.
It's a circus. You can go and do
trapeze.
I want to do trapeze.
We also have ping pong. At the Standard downtown, there's ping pong. Because, I do these things with my friends. Like, we'll go to the Standard downtown and play ping pong on a Friday night. Or we'll go to a bowling alley in Koreatown. Or we'll go, my friend Andy was like, we got to do that trampoline thing. Like, we got to go, preferably before dinner. And, all of us will go, 10 of us will go, adults, and do this stuff. Bowl, play ping pong, go to the golf swing, what's that called? Driving range.
Driving range.
I didn't even think of the batting cages. Yeah. But that's a great way to be more active and burn calories without, the gym.
Paintball?
And you know what's funny is when you go with somebody, you laugh at each other.
I'd like to go to paintball with Janice.
Can you imagine what I'd look like?
Put on the map! For some, it's the first day they open the doors to their business. Others, when they get that first customer, or when they're making enough money to finally quit their day job. These are the moments. These moments when the new business owner gets to say, I did it. It's National Start Your Business Month. This is your moment to shine, and the people at LegalZoom are ready to help. Start your LLC, incorporate, file your DBA. LegalZoom received an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau, so you know that they're going to get the job done right. Over the past 14 years, they've helped over 1 million business owners successfully get started. This is me, I'm inserting this. So why not you? Because that's my line. That's my line.
Oh, okay.
Why not you? Okay? Oh, it's not done, though. No, we have to do the legalese. Here's the offer. This month is special because with your purchase, LegalZoom is going to give you a 3-month trial to the all-new QuickBooks program, which is a better way to run your whole business, and it's $119. They're giving it to you for free, people. Free, all caps here on the page. Now, you've got to be sure you enter my name in the referral box at checkout, Jillian. That's Jillian. Make today your new business moment, and LegalZoom.com. They're ready to make it happen. are you? LegalZoom provides self-help services, and they can connect you with the right attorney, but they're not a law firm. LegalZoom, turning business dreams to reality.
All right, we have Michael waiting on the phone to speak to you.
Hey, Michael, what's going on?
Hi, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It is such an honor to speak to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It really isn't, but you don't know that, so that's my...
it actually is. I've tried to see some of your personal appearances and whatnot, and it never seems to work out. So to get to talk to you live is really an honor.
So how can I help?
So my question to you is, I recently had a son. He turns one in just a couple of days.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm a plus-size guy. I weigh a lot.
Okay.
And my wife's a plus-size woman as well.
Okay.
And what we don't want to do is transfer that to our son. Okay. We sort of want the, you know, cycle of obesity to stop with us and not go transfer to him. So I really wanted to see what we could do to sort of make that happen.
Okay, this is going to be sort of an annoying call for you, but why don't you tell me what you think the answer to that question is?
Well, I think that if we establish while he's young, sort of healthy eating habits.
For who?
And for him.
Oh, okay.
And we instill in him the importance of exercise, that he won't develop those habits.
Is that your first and final answer?
That would be my thought, yeah.
Okay, sweetie. Okay, that's the... Did you see Wolf of Wall Street?
I have not yet.
Okay, I'm going to ruin the movie for you right now. I'm going to ruin the end, so there's a spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen it. So basically, he has this trick, right, that he has with his friends, and he's this master salesman, okay? It's based on a true story. So he's got all these Goomba hustler friends, and in the beginning of the movie, he's like, we're the best salesmen we know, and they're all shysters. They're shysters from his local area, right? And he's like, he gives the pen to one of his shyster friends, one of his pens. He takes his pen out of his pocket, and he goes, sell me this pen. And his friend goes, write your name. And he's like, well, he can't. He needs to buy the pen, right? Seems obvious enough. Later on in the movie, at the very end of the movie, he becomes a motivational speaker. And he's going up to all these different people in this audience where they come to see him talk. And they're like, he's like, sell me this pen. And they're like, it's a nice pen. What a beautiful pen. The ink is superb. It doesn't smear. Your answer to me is the second answer. I'm going to teach him, you know, about how health, good food and exercise, and none of that matters. What matters the most is you guys getting healthy. You guys leading by example. You guys changing your lives and losing the weight and discovering the benefit of eating healthy and being active. And if that's what you're doing, that's what he's going to know. So if you guys are going on vacation, right, and the vacation you choose is to Hawaii, and you take a paddleboarding lesson with your son, that's a heck of a lot different than you guys going on a cruise to Mexico and hitting the buffet with your son. If you choose, you know, on a Sunday, you choose to drive up, you're in Temecula, I don't know, maybe you guys, okay, you decide on Sunday that you and your son are going to go for a bike ride together because Temecula is beautiful. I've been there. That's a heck of a lot different than you and your son waking up in the morning and going to donuts together, because that's what my dad and I did. Not always, but that's, you know, that's what we would do. He would take me for a ride on his motorcycle. Don't know how that was legal at the time. I would sit on the tank in my cherry red 1979 motorcycle helmet, and we would go to the donut shop. And that's what we did. It was just Sunday morning. It was awesome. There's a big difference between that and going on a bike ride at a local bike path. But it requires, and it's very interesting because I've seen how obese parents can have obese children, and it's just because it's what the family's doing. Like, when we went to Disney World, and there was a restaurant, right? I mean, it's a Meet the Characters right. restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. But, like, Cinderella and Snow White and Prince Charming and the stepsisters and all these characters are there. It's a buffet. And I was like, oh, mother of God. So, you know, I'm like, all right, I found some things. And, you know, there was some shrimp and, like, a mozzarella salad and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I pulled some things. And like, we gave Lou a treat. You know, she got to pick and went up and picked, like, a little brownie bite or whatever. Well, of course, I looked around. And, I mean, there were parents with their plates piled 4 inches high. So what are you going to do? Tell your kid no? That your kid can't do the same thing? Like, my daughter is 3. And one time, she said, shut up, right? And we went crazy, and we were like, Lou, you're not allowed to say shut up. You're never allowed. Well, now, I can't even, like, the dogs will bark at the housekeeper. Somebody will come to the door, and they'll bark, and I'm like, oh, my God, shut up to the dogs. And she's like, Mama, don't say shut up. Like, if there's anything I do that goes against the things that we've taught her, if I sit on the table, Mama, you're not supposed to sit on the table. Like, they pick up immediately on when you're being hypocritical. So you're not in any position to be like, you need to eat healthy. Oh, hold on, we don't. So you don't, you're not in a position of authority to influence them, because they're immediately going to go, oh, right, okay, sure, I should eat healthy, but you do X, Y, and Z. And even so, even if you might not have the authority, or there might be a perceived disconnect there, what you're going to do as a family is going to affect these kids. The way that you live your life is going to affect these kids. So if you and your wife are more active with your lifestyle, your kids are going to be more active. If you're not, then they're going to be less active. If you're going to places where you're going to get the, you know, the pizza, the this, the that, the this, you know, that's a different culture than, all right, we're going to the healthier place and picking up this, we're going to the farmer's market together and getting that, we're growing vegetables in the backyard and isn't this neat, we're cooking food at home together and the kids are invested. It's a completely different family dynamic. And so what I would absolutely warn against is making an issue about weight at all. I wouldn't make an issue about yours. I wouldn't make an issue about theirs. I wouldn't in any way, like, oh, my God, this is bad. Oh, my God, we have to be active or we'll be fat. Oh, my God. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. It's we try to be healthy. We try to take care of ourselves. This is why it's important. You know, we feel better about ourselves. We feel stronger. We have a better quality of life. We're able to experience the world in richer ways. We're not sitting on the beach looking at the ocean. We're, you know, taking a paddleboarding lesson or a surfing lesson, or we're body surfing, or we're on the mountain skiing, not at the bottom eating the truffle fries. You know, but there's room for truffle fries, like in moderation, not truffle fries and a burger and a milkshake, but one or the other at the end of a day where we've been active and having balance. But sweetie, the answer, which is interesting to me that you didn't see, is that the answer is you and your wife, not with the one-year-old.
Because the one-year-old's easier to shape and mold. And, I mean, I've battled the weight for a long time, and that's hard for me to do. I'm relatively active. I actually work out about 3 or 4 times a week, but I eat through all of it.
Of course.
And, you know, so, I mean, from a fitness level, I'm actually, for a 350-pound guy, not
fit.
Bad. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if you were like, hey, you have to walk 13 miles or else, you know, whatever, I could walk the 13 miles. That wouldn't be a problem. I'd be a little sore the next day, but I wouldn't be crippled over it.
Yeah.
But I eat through all of it. And so I was just hoping that, you know, portion control with my kid and stuff like that.
Babe, no, it has to start with you. You're his primary role model, and the change that needs to be made is with you. You have to do the work on yourself and not project the work into him of like, okay, I couldn't do it for me, but you're going to do it, damn it. And that's what a lot of parents do, by the way. It's like, everything that wasn't fulfilled in my life, you're going to fulfill. everything that I wasn't, you know, wasn't satisfied with, you're going to be. And then they reject it and it becomes a whole thing. And I'm telling you right now, you got to look at what is going on with the food. And one of the things I'm going to tell you right now, I've said this before, and it's something that I do talk about during the show, Maximize Your Life. I talk about obesity. And I'll ask you this question right now. Is somebody overweight because they want to be overweight, yes or no?
Well, I know your answer is no, but...
My answer is yes. Yes, they are. They're overweight because they want to be overweight. And the reason is because it affords them something.
Right.
It's affording them something. So even though it may have consequences that are hurtful, it is still affording them something. And the key is to figure out what that is. So whether it's control or comfort or, you know, I'll give you an example. I had a contestant whose mother was overweight. He came to the show. He lost a bunch of weight. He went home for the holidays and then was coming back to the show. When he returned to the show, he'd actually gained weight during the 2 weeks he was home. And when we ended up talking about it, his mother was so upset and felt like they were going to outgrow her, him and his father. They were leaving her behind. They were ashamed of her. They weren't going to love her anymore. And she became depressed and withdrew. So what did he do? He started eating again. So what is the weight afford him? A connection with his mother. It affords him something. And what you need to look at is what it's costing you. So it's very tough to lose that weight because it involves loss. It involves something that's scary, something that you're struggling with. But what I will tell you is you have a built-in motivation right now that's going to be extremely powerful, a very powerful antidote to whatever it is that's making you keep the weight on. So whatever reason that you've put this weight on, you have a really great reason to combat that, and that's the health and the respect of your son.
Right.
So if you really want JJ to grow up healthy, strong, you got to be his primary role model, honey. And so does your wife. It's not, I hate to say, it's helpful when both parents are on the same page. You probably have figured out that when both parents are not on the same page, it's challenging. With everything, you know, whether it's discipline or sleep training strategies or potty training strategies or health related strategies, you guys got to get on the same page as a team and make this about you and not him.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think you're going to get a lot from the show. I'm going to send you a copy of Unlimited. Have you ever read that?
I actually have.
And did you do the work?
I didn't. I got an audio copy and listened to it and got all charged up for about a week, and then motivation goes away.
You got... Okay. But see, did you do all that stuff about, like, okay, what is the weight affording me? What patterns am I repeating? And all of that?
No.
Yeah, you got to actually do the work. You got to actually go, oh, that's nice. It's not, oh, I get it. You know, we have repetition compulsions. Oh, I get it. We have negative patterns. You got to figure out what yours are and the origin of those things. So what we're going to get you tickets to the show, and I think that's going to help. But it might not be a bad idea to do a little bit of therapy, a little bit of self-exploration to try to get to the bottom of what the weight's affording you. But even if you don't get that piece of the puzzle, you can still say, I feel the pain of what the weight is costing me. And I feel the pain with regard to my concern for my son, and that's greater than the desire to keep the weight on, and it'll help you fight the good fight.
Okay,
Michael, you can do this, dude. I'm telling you.
All right, thank you, Jillian. You're the best. And let me just say, a while back, you said that you had been told that you weren't the voice of your generation. Trust me, you're at least one of them, and you're a very positive voice, so thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Ha ha! I know exactly what you're talking about. Thank you, baby. That means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate talking to you.
All right, sweetheart. Have a wonderful day.
You do the same.
Okay. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
Oh, mother of God. I must have, because he heard it. I must have talked about it on the show.
I don't remember you talking about that.
Oh, wow. Okay, so anyway, I go into this meeting, right? And I've been on Rachel Ray a bunch of times. I'd been on The Doctors a bunch of times. And I thought for sure this was going to be, because I'd had a really good relationship with CBS. Then daytime, I'd been on their shows, you know. So I go into this meeting and I was like, you know, I really feel like every generation has voices, right? Somebody that they relate to, who gets it, that speaks about the things that they're going through mm-hmm. or experiencing, or and she kind of got into that conversation, and I was like, that's, you know, I'm not an actor, I'm not a talk show host, I'm a person who, I'm a wellness expert, I'm a coach, I go through things where I'm not an expert, like parenting and money stuff and all of that, and then I have my wheelhouse, but it's a journey for me to live a better life, and I want the audience to go on that journey with me, and of course I have my wheelhouse of expertise, it's like the podcast, right? So, and I was like, I really feel that I can reflect the things that women are going through, and she goes, no. Just like that. And then John Carlo and I were like this. Wah, wah. And I go, really? Okay, well, can you tell me? Because I just was like, all right, fair enough. Can you tell me who you think, who is it then? Who is it? And she's, because I just was like, what? Let me tell me what you think is then is who, what is relatable to you? Or, and she goes, I have some people in mind, but it's definitely not you.
Oh, ouch.
God. Oh, it's brutal. Brutal. Yeah. But that's, dude, that's par for the course. It's crazy. So, she might be right.
No.
She might be right. But, you know, what the hell, if the day does come? Because we need to get this message out, Janice. This is a show for the masses. I mean, this is true pearls that we give out every week.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
I mean, the segment about S-shaped poop, that was priceless, I think.
It was a nugget.
It was a nugget, literally.
You know, where can you go after that? Nuggets of wisdom. We gotta go. We really do.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.